you love Jesus today, say amen. Amen. All right. Well, I hope you brought your Bibles with you today. Go to the book of Romans, chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8 is where we're going to be this morning. It's a blessing to be in church today. I'm thankful for this good number that we had. This past week, as you know, we're having Wednesday morning service and we're having Wednesday night service. And in those two services combined, we've had the most people we've ever had on a Wednesday. So I appreciate so much your attendance in that and being committed to come to there. If you're not coming and you'd like to come to that on Wednesdays, of course, we start at 11 on Wednesday morning and then 6:30 at Wednesday night. So I'm excited to be doing that. So thank you so much for coming there. But I hope you're happy to be here today, and I hope you're listening for what God may say to your heart today. Today is a special day for me on the calendar. February the 21st is something that's special to me. February the 21st, 2006, I was in the sixth grade, and I woke up that morning, and everything was normal. I went to school, I went to my classes. But then that day, I took a bus over to a little building over across the road called the Christian Learning Center. And on my way back to school on that bus, something very special happened to me. I heard the voice of God calling out to me. He began to call in my heart, telling me that I needed to be saved, Brother Clyde. And on that day, February the 21st, 2006, God saved me by His grace. And now for 15 years, I've been born again a child of God. And you know, there's something awesome about being a child of God when somebody gets saved. I have never heard someone on their deathbed say, you know, I regret getting saved. There's never been one person that got saved and said, I wish I'd have never got saved. Being saved is the greatest thing that could ever happen. And I'm thankful today to be a child of God. And I'm going to talk about a little bit today about salvation. Our title today is going to be The Role of the Holy Spirit in the Salvation of Sinners. So I hope you'll be blessed by it today. Romans chapter number 8, look at verse number 9. We're just going to read one verse today. Verse number 9 of Romans chapter number 8, it says this. It says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your Word today. Thank You that it's so profitable, it's so powerful, and it's so pure. And God, today I pray that You would use it to just do a work in our hearts today. And God, I pray that we might stand in awe of You again. Those of us who are saved, Lord, I pray that You would help us to stand in awe of Your salvation again. But Lord, if there's somebody that's listening right now and they're not saved, I pray that You would woo them to Yourself. I pray that You would call them to Yourself through the Holy Spirit, that they may be born again. Thank You for the gift of eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, the creation all around us, if there would be days and nights where we would just stop and look around, I think we'd receive a blessing from it. When you just go outside in the middle of the night and you look at the stars in the sky, it's an amazing sight to see. When you go out in the middle of the day and man, it's a day like today and the clouds are passing by, it's an awesome sight to see. When you go to the ocean and the waves are just rolling in and they roll out and they roll back in, that's one of the greatest creation things you can see. The birds that sing in the spring and in the summer when you wake up in the morning, we ought to receive a blessing from God's creation. But you know, the thing about all of the creation around us is they point to a Creator. And you and I know from the Bible, as a matter of fact, we should know from common sense, that heaven and earth and the sea and all things in them, they were not brought into existence by science. They were not brought into existence by mere luck or chance, and they certainly were not brought into existence by two rocks colliding together and creating everything. But you and I know that everything around us today was brought into existence by God, by the hand and the Word of God. Over and over, not only the Old Testament, but the New Testament confirms that creation is not a product of chance, it's a product of God. And we know that. There's probably no doubt that you should know that, at least, that God is the one who created all of these things around us. But what we may not know is that all three persons of the Godhead played a role in creating all things. You say, what does that mean? That means God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit all had a role in the creation of the things you see around us. And that completely destroys the theology of the Jehovah's Witnesses, because they will tell you that Jesus Christ is merely a man that came into existence at Bethlehem. But when you'll find out in the book of John and the book of Colossians that Jesus did not come into existence at Bethlehem, but Jesus has always been, it just destroys that. But you know, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all played a part in creating the things that we see around us. The Bible says in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And you don't have to go far to find the third person of the Trinity, the Spirit of God. That's Genesis 1, verse 2. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So you've already got two persons of the Trinity there in Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. You say, well, where's the Son? Well, it doesn't get really to the New Testament till it tells us that. In Colossians chapter number 1, for by Jesus were all things created that were created in heaven and in earth. So the thing I need you to know today is that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit all had a role in creation. Here's what I want to talk about really today. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation, a new creature. And that means this. When you and I get saved, it's not just something we said. When you and I got saved, it's not just something that we believed. It's not just something that we professed. And man, that was all that happened. We just said something. We say, you know what? I believe in Christ. And that's it. Something else happened. A change happened. Literally, God created a new person within us when we got saved. We are a new creation. And here's the thing about this new creation that is us. The same way the three persons of the Trinity had a role in creation is the same way the three persons of the Trinity have a role in our salvation, in the salvation of our soul. And as you can see today, we've only got time to go through one of them. And what we pick today is the Holy Spirit's role in the salvation of sinners. Now let me start out by saying this. The Holy Spirit is so important to our salvation that without Him, it couldn't happen. The Holy Spirit is so important to our salvation that without Him, there is no life. Let me explain it this way. When an EMS or a first responder comes upon the scene of somebody, the first thing that they are going to do is check for breath. Because those people realize one thing, if there is no breath, there is no life. So that's the first thing they check. If there's no breath, there is no life. And in Romans chapter number 8, verse number 9, the Apostle Paul is telling us this. If there is no Holy Spirit, there is no eternal life. If there is no Holy Spirit, there is no salvation. Look at what he says. Verse 9. If any man have not the Spirit, he is none of his. Man, that teaches us something very important. That you can have everything in the Christian life imaginable. You can have profession with your lips. You can have practice with your feet. You can have prayers with your knees. You can have platforms. But if you do not have the person of the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, you have nothing. You can have all of these things, church attendance, profession, practice. But if you don't have the third person of the Trinity, you're not a child of God. That is exactly what Paul is saying. Because it is the Spirit of God alone that brings the life of God to you and me. And what's amazing about that is that concept is not just taught in the New Testament. As a matter of fact, this concept that if there is no Spirit, there is no life, is taught in the very first book of the Bible. In Genesis chapter number 1 and 2. You see, when God created Adam, Adam could not have any life unless it was for the Holy Spirit. You say, how is that? Let's talk about it. Genesis chapter number 2 and verse number 7 says this. How was Adam created? How was the first man brought into existence? It says, and the Lord God, which is God the Father, He formed man of the dust of the ground. So what that means is God took literally the dust of the ground that He had created and He made the first man's body. He made his eyes, his nose, his ears, his mouth, his heart, his lungs, his kidneys, and all the visible parts on the outside and the inside of our body. God made that. Now, you could stop right there and say, that's absolutely amazing that God took a speck of dust and made everything that you see right here. But that's for a different day. But yet, though God made this body, there was no life in it yet. So it says next, and He breathed into His nostrils the breath of life, and that was when Adam was brought to life. You say, well, where's the Spirit of God in that verse? You see that word breath right there? That's Him. That is the Holy Spirit of God. That invisible life, that invisible breath of God that came from God that brought life to an otherwise lifeless person. You say, Justin, you're taking that too far to say that that word breath is the Spirit of God. Well, let's see what Jesus said. Jesus in John chapter number 20, verse number 22, He had just risen from the dead and He's talking around His apostles and He says this, and when He had said this, He breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. So Jesus breathed on His apostles and they were brought, you ready, to new life. So the same way Adam had no life apart from the breath of the Holy Spirit is the same way you and I do not have new life apart from the breath of the Holy Spirit within us. Isn't that amazing? That without the Holy Spirit, even in Genesis, there was no natural life. And today what Paul is telling us that without the Holy Spirit right now, there can be no second life. There can be no spiritual life by which one is made a child of God. And the old hymn writer had it right, Miss Nan, when he wrote, breathe on me, Holy Spirit. Take my heart and cleanse every part. Holy Spirit, breathe on me. Breath is essential to life. And the Holy Spirit is essential to eternal life. Without Him, there is no life. So what role does He play in bringing us to faith in Christ? Because we as Baptists, most of us grew up that way, we usually know the role God played in our salvation. And we should know the role that Jesus Christ played in our salvation. We just sung about it. But there's a lot of things that people don't know about the Holy Spirit and the role He had in our salvation. So we're going to talk about it today, and it's not going to take long, and I'll be done. Number one, the first role of the Holy Spirit in salvation is conviction. It is conviction. John chapter number 16 and verse number 8 and 9, Jesus speaks these words to His apostles. John 16, verse 8, and when He, the Holy Spirit, is come, He will reprove the world of sin. That word reprove means convict. So Jesus says, when the Holy Spirit is come, He will convict the world of sin. So that is the first thing the Holy Spirit does with a sinner, is convict them of sin. There's a lot of confusion surrounding what that conviction really is. So let's consider it today. The Greek word for conviction is elegeko. And it is used 17 times in the New Testament. And that word means this. Jimmy liked how I said that Greek word. You liked that, didn't you? I tried my best. That Greek word for conviction means this. It means to point out wrong. It means to bring to light something that is not in the light. Or it means to expose something. Now listen to what Matthew Henry said about what conviction is. Conviction is a law term. And it speaks the office of the judge in summing up the evidence and setting a matter that has been long hidden in clear and true light. That is what conviction is. It's taking all of these things that are kind of in the dark, that is unknown, and bringing them to light so that you know them. And that very simply is conviction. And that is the job of the Holy Spirit to the sinner, to bring to light and make known our sin against God. Because unless we first realize we're sinners, we'll never seek the forgiveness for those sins. So the first step the Holy Spirit takes is to make known to us our sin. Now, I don't know how many people are here today, but if I were to ask you today, what do you think is the greatest sin? There would be 25 different answers to what the greatest sin is. But Jesus actually goes on to imply that for us in verse number 9 of John 16. The sin that tops every sin is this, the sin of unbelief. The sin of unbelief in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because did you know you can be forgiven of every single sin, but if you do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, there's no possible entrance into that place. So the unpardonable sin is this, unbelief. If you do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you cannot be pardoned of your sin. And here's the thing. Even an unbeliever has what is called a conscience. When an unbeliever commits a sin, whether it be stealing, one of the Ten Commandments, whatever you want it to be, coveting, their conscience tells them that's wrong. An unbeliever can go steal something from the gas station right now and walk out, and their conscience will tell them it is wrong. It hadn't been seared yet. But here's the thing. The sin of unbelief, only the Holy Spirit can point that out to somebody. The conscience cannot tell you you have not yet believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is only the Holy Spirit that can point out you have not yet believed in Christ. So the chief sin that the Holy Spirit magnifies and fastens upon is this, unbelief. He convicts the world of their unbelief in the Lord Jesus Christ. So that is the first role of the Holy Spirit in salvation, is conviction. Number two, I want you to see not only is it conviction, but secondly, His role is calling. It is to call us. Now, if you were to walk out the doors of this church and you were to turn to the right, what you would see is a church sign. You would see an LED sign, by the way, paid for by the wonderful members of Hardin Community Baptist Church. Either way, that sign says this, Hardin Community Baptist Church. We are a church, right? It doesn't sound like it this morning, but we're a church. Now, what does that word church actually mean? What does that mean that we are a church or the church? Well, the Greek word is ekklesia, and that word means this. You ready? Called out ones. Ones who have been called out. That is the church. We are people who have been called by God. And I realize that that might be something that goes against everything we might have been taught growing up, that we were the ones that called God. But the Bible says that actually God is the one who called us. And I'm not saying that we do not call upon God to be saved, but here's the important part. Before we ever called upon Him, He called upon us. He's the one who initiated the calling, and that's found all throughout the Scripture. The Apostle Paul says it over and over and over again. Romans chapter number 1 and verse 1. He says, I am a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. He says, you the church, you are also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. And we know that God works all things together for good to them who are the called and to them who love God and to them who are the called according to His purpose. So even that verse that we quote all the time tells us that we have been called by God. What does the word call mean? The word call literally means to invite, to summon, or to bid to come. So I can call someone up here today. I'm inviting you to come up here. And that is exactly what the Holy Spirit does in the work of salvation, is He calls you and I to Jesus Christ. Now let me show you two ways in which He does that. There are two callings that the Holy Spirit puts out on us. It is an external call and an internal or an inward call. Now the external call that God uses to call sinners is very simply the preaching of the gospel. It is the preaching of the gospel. Everyone on Facebook and everyone who has ever heard a gospel preacher has heard the external call of God to come to Christ. Now here's the question. Does everybody who hears the gospel get saved? The obvious answer is no. You can hear the gospel and you can still not be saved. So that's the external call by which God uses preachers to preach the gospel and they call men and women to Jesus Christ. But there's another call that goes out, and that is an internal call. An internal call. You say, which one is that? Well, the internal call is when the Holy Spirit comes to you personally. When the Holy Spirit comes to you and He calls you and He changes your inward desire so that now you have a desire to call upon Jesus to save you. And that is also called the effectual call of God. That when the Holy Spirit does this, it always brings about the effect that God wants, which is we show faith in Christ. And that is the point of the Holy Spirit calling us, to bring about that effect to where we trust and we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So very simply, listen, the inward call of the Holy Spirit is when the Holy Spirit calls, He invites, and He summons. Or, it's this, when He guides a person into the truth of who Jesus is. When He guides a person into the truth of who Jesus is. Now I want you to listen to this. Conviction is when the Holy Spirit tells you the truth about you. Calling is when the Holy Spirit tells you the truth about Jesus. That's what that is. Conviction, the Holy Spirit tells you the truth about you. Calling, He tells you the truth about Jesus. Now let me explain kind of what the Holy Spirit does in this calling. Most of you know that before I came here, I guess almost 3 years ago now, that I worked at the YMCA in Anderson. And I was a trainer there, and I just led people into what they need to be doing and all that stuff. Obviously, I've gone away from that. I've gone to KFC and Chick-fil-A and all that. But, amen's right. By the way, it's a much better life. But usually about two or three times a week, I'd be standing in my place over here and I would hear a call over the intercom and it would say, Justin, can you please come to the front desk? Miss Donna would call me up there and I would come there and there would usually be two people standing there. Miss Donna would say, these are brand new members. They've never been here before. They have no idea where anything is at. They have no idea what to do. And my job was to show them where everything was at, to show them what they needed to be doing. And the first thing they always needed to see was the locker room, because more than likely they needed to go in there and get on what they needed to get on. So Miss Donna would look at me and she said, "Will you show them where the locker room is?" And I'd say, "Well, of course." Let me tell you what I didn't do. I didn't look at those two people and say, "Right down there. Just a few steps, turn to the right. You got it." What I did was I said, "Follow me." And I would literally guide them until we got to the door. And here's what I would do most of the time, because my mama taught me manners. I would get to the door and I'd open the door for them. And you know what I wouldn't do? I wouldn't say, "Now get in there." I wouldn't have worked there very long. I didn't push them in. I did not make them go in. The only thing I did was say, "This is where you need to go." Now, I tell you that to tell you this. That is exactly what the Holy Spirit does with you and me. The Holy Spirit takes us by the hand, if you will, and He leads us to a place 2,000 years ago called Mount Calvary. And the Holy Spirit points to that cross, and He points to that man on the cross and says, "This is where you need to go. This is the way. This is the truth. This is the life. This is where you need to go and be saved." And the Holy Spirit, I love this, He even opens the door for us and He shows us Christ like we've never seen Him before. He shows us grace. He shows us the gospel like we've never seen it before. And when He does that, I'm telling you this, the only possible reaction we can have is to fall on our knees and say, "Lord Jesus, save me." That is what Jesus does. And that is what the Holy Spirit does. He opens the door and says, "Don't this look real good?" And when Peter was falling in the Sea of Galilee, and he could not get himself back up, those words that he said was, "Lord, save me." 15 years ago, that's the exact words I said when He opened that door for me. "Lord, save me." Because the Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." But you got to realize something. The Holy Spirit wouldn't open that door for me, I could have never called on Him. The Holy Spirit comes and He calls us and He guides us and He invites us to the Lord Jesus Christ. And man, I know sometimes even me can make salvation something that's hard to understand. Salvation is almost the most simple thing in the world you can possibly understand. You say, "What? The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon Him, whosoever believeth in Him should have everlasting life." How do you believe? How do you just believe something you've never seen? It's very simple. The Holy Spirit comes to you and He already gives you everything you'll need. And He opens the door and He says, "The only thing you got to do is believe on Him." Listen to what Jesus said. You ready? John 5:24. "He that hears my word and believes on Him that sent me has everlasting life." Wow. Now that's so simple that almost Levi can understand that day. He that hears God's word and believes on Him has everlasting life. Isn't that pretty easy? You know why it's easy? Because the Holy Spirit makes it easy for you. He comes to you and says, "The only thing you got to do is respond by faith." You don't have to come up with the faith, He gives it to you. You don't have to come up with your own belief, He gives it to you. The only thing you have to do is respond by saying yes. He does the rest. That's how simple it is, Brother Carl. Salvation. And that's called conversion. And that could be a third point, but it's not. The role of the Holy Spirit in salvation is conviction, and then He calls you at a day and time that you have no idea when it's going to happen. He uses the gospel you've heard, and He uses that to say, "Hey, that's for you. Come on in." To invite you to Christ. And you believe upon Him. And you have everlasting life. But here's the third thing, and I'm going to be done. Are y'all excited that I'm almost done? Go ahead and shake your head. If not, we'll get on the altar after this. Man, the role of the Holy Spirit is not only conviction and calling. It's change. Change. There's a theology. There's a teaching going around today in nearly every church that you probably see on TV. Those mega. And the theology is this. That salvation is just a prayer that you pray one day at church, and man, then you can just go on living the same way you've always lived it. That's the thing. Just come forward, man, just say something. Tell Jesus you believe on Him, walk out, and just continue going the same way you've always went. And though you've said this and there's never been a change, you know what? It's just okay. Can I say that is not the salvation of the Bible? That's not salvation that God speaks of in the Bible. The salvation that God offers always, always, always brings about a change in our lives. Now, I'm not telling you the day you get saved, if you're an alcoholic, that you'll go from an alcoholic to living like Billy Graham the next day. That's not going to happen. But what I am saying is this. If there has never been a change in your life over time, that's because there's never been a salvation in your life at one time. If there has never been a change in your life over time, that's because there has been no salvation in your life at one time. Justin, are you saying that you've got to live a certain way to be saved? No. I'm saying if you're saved, you'll start living a certain way. Now, let me correct that. I'm not saying that. That's not what Justin says. That's what the New Testament says. That's what the Bible says. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to show you. Nearly every New Testament writer, we don't have time to go over all of them, but they'll tell you that. Listen to what James says. The half-brother, as a matter of fact, of the Savior. James says, "But will you know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead." You know what that says? James is saying a faith that produces no change is not faith. A faith that does not produce change is not faith at all. Because faith in Jesus always brings about a change. You say, well, you know what? That's James. He might have been a little messed up. Well, we know somebody who ain't messed up, and that's Jesus. Jesus said in Matthew chapter number 7, He said, "Every good tree brings forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit." And right before that, or after it, I can't remember, Jesus said, "You shall know them by their fruits." So Jesus says if the fruit on the outside is bad, there's only one reason. Because on the inside it's bad. The fruit on the outside is good, there's one reason. Because the inside is good. But here's what the Apostle Paul said, and I think it sums it up almost perfectly. In Titus 1:16. Paul said, speaking of unbelievers, they profess with their mouth that they know God, but in works they deny Him. Being abominable and disobedient and unto every good work, a reprobate. Wow. So Paul says, they profess their whole life, man, they know God, but in every aspect of their living, in their works, in their life, they ain't got nothing to do with God. Do you know what he says? It's they, not us. So, the Bible tells us over and over that all of these speakers, and that's just three, that's not counting Peter, that's not counting John. In the New Testament, Paul, James, and even the Son of God Himself says that when someone gets saved and the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of them, it produces a change in their life. That doesn't mean you're going to be perfect. But it does mean something will be different. Because that is exactly what the Holy Spirit does. It is natural for the Holy Spirit to change you and I from the inside out. And you got to understand that. The first thing He changes is the inside. And then it'll change what happens on the outside. But that is the work of the Holy Spirit in salvation. Is His conviction, His calling, and even He causes us to be converted. And then in our life, through that salvation, He changes us. He changes our lives. So what does all of this mean? Let me give you two things and I'm done. Through that, we can ask ourselves the question, have we ever been saved? Have we ever been born again? Have you ever responded by faith to that inward call that's telling you you must be saved? You say, well, Justin, how in the world do I know the Holy Spirit is calling me to be saved? I can say this. It will be impossible not to know. All right? It will be impossible not to know that the Holy Spirit is calling you to be saved. You will know without a shadow of a doubt if He is calling you to be saved. But for those who have responded, for those who have been saved, did you see what we did to be saved in this message? The only thing you and I did to be saved was we heard the Holy Spirit's call. You know what we did? We just obeyed it. We just said yes. And we put our faith in Christ. That's it. And if the Lord's willing, next week, that's going to launch us into something. Because the Apostle Paul will tell us this. That is not only how a man is saved, but that's how a man is supposed to live every day the rest of his life. You're not only saved by listening and obeying. The way God wants us to live is the exact same way. Just listen. And do what He says. He makes it very simple for us. But I don't know about you. I am so thankful for the assurance of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to end with this quote. Charles Spurgeon was quoted saying this. He said, I am so assured of my salvation that I could hang on a corn stalk right now and swing over the pit of hell and look the devil in the face and say, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Don't you like that? I wish my name was beside that. Because that's what the Holy Spirit does too. That doesn't mean that you'll never doubt your salvation because that's the devil's work. But that means when the Holy Spirit lives within you, man, He lets you know that you're a child of God. And I'm so thankful for that today. Let's go to Him in prayer. Musicians, you can come. If you would, all stand to your feet. Father, we thank You this morning for Your Word. We thank You this morning for Your Holy Spirit, whom even without Him we can't understand Your Word. We can't understand anything of a spiritual nature apart from Him. So we thank You for that blessed third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, who brings us salvation, who shows us the way of salvation. Father, today I pray that if there's anyone listening within earshot, whether on Facebook or in here, and You are knocking on the door of their heart, You are calling them to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, I pray that they would simply obey that call and they would walk through the door to eternal life. We thank You for that gift of grace that comes not because we earned it, not because we deserve it, but because You love us. And You want to shed Your grace upon us. And we thank You for that amazing grace today. And Lord, we do love You and thank You for Your salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.